That's a beautiful song. I enjoyed that so very much. Not just because of the music, but the words were tremendous. And the five young ladies singing it are a blessing to me. I appreciate them. I appreciate their modest dress. I appreciate that. We're losing that in a lot of churches where I go. And I appreciate the dress, the modest dress on the platform tonight. That's how it ought to be everywhere. And so I appreciate that. I really do. You don't know how much I appreciate it. Boy, a lot of guys are having a big fight with it. You know, we're hitting the summertime, so be careful. And be careful about be careful about your slits, ladies. Stay modest. Stay modest. Stay modest. Don't accent the form and shape of your body with your clothes. Amen. And you don't need to do that. Stay modest, and I appreciate the way these young ladies were dressed this evening. All right? Very good. Now, I want to speak for a little bit tonight on the subject, a prized possession. A prized possession. Look at verse 2. Honor thy father and mother. Prized possession. Thank you, dear Lord, for the beautiful song, Were It Not for Grace. My goodness, where would we be tonight? Thank you for saving grace, amazing grace, living grace. And then, Lord, we know someday there'll be dying grace when we need it. We'll cross over into that beautiful land called heaven, all because of your grace. Help me tonight by your grace to preach your word, and may we receive it with grace. Lord, in our hearts, may at the invitation time, we be ready to let you know what we learned from this message. Speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Ephesians 5 and 6 are filled with teaching on the different relationships that we are involved in throughout life. There's marriage, talked about in chapter 5, child rearing, work relationships, employee-employer matters. Each one of these is extremely important and demands that we give to them everything that it requires to make them successful. And I really believe there's enough teaching about every one of these relationships in these two chapters to make us successful if we'll only implement the principles that are written here on these pages. Practice them. It's called role playing. There's a role for a wife. There's a role for a husband. There's a role for parents. And there's a role for the children. There's a role for the employer. There's a role for the employee. If we just get plugged into that role, it'll work, because whatever God said, whatever God wrote, works. Whatever He wrote, works. And so the parent-child relationship will be the subject of the message tonight, particularly the phrase in verse 2, honor thy father and mother. Honor thy father and mother. Now, in verse number 1, children are commanded to obey their parents. Obeying is what children are required to do while still under the parents' care. A boy is going to grow up and take a wife, supposed to leave his mother and father and cling to his wife. The girl grows up and takes the husband. And the young man is on his own. He's the head of a new family, a new building block of society. The wife is married into that relationship, of course, and she is to obey her husband from that point forward. But until marriage, especially while you're still living under the roof of mom and dad, children are required to obey their parents. Honoring dad and mom is what you choose to do when you leave home and begin life on your own. Now, I make that distinction. The Old Testament really doesn't make any distinction between the two. The Old Testament always uses the command, honor thy father and thy mother. And certainly you honor your mom and dad by obeying them. And let me say this to the kids tonight. I'm telling kids now, I'm talking about teenagers and even college-age students who are still under the roof of mom and dad. If you'll make it a priority to obey your dad and your mom, you will lay a foundation for doing well the rest of your life. That's the honest truth. I believe that with all of my heart. If you'll make it a point to make it a priority to obey them, you will lay a wonderful foundation for doing well the rest of your life. Don't just obey them because you have to. Obey them because you want to. Obey them from the heart. Obey them because God told you to do it. The primary reason to obey your mom and dad is because it is right And God always blesses the doing of right. Always does. God looks upon the doing of right with great favor. You remember Josiah, that lesson we did on Josiah, the pattern for the child, beginning at age 8 and then 12 and then 8 and then 16 and then 20 and then 24, 26. And when he was age 8, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And I'll promise you, friend, that included obeying his dad and his mom. And brother, when you obey your dad, when you obey your mom, and you do that because it's right, God looks upon the doing of right with great favor. He'll bless you. And I mean, friend, that makes all the difference in the world. Do you understand that? The touch of God, the blessing of God, God's smile, God's favor means all the difference in the world. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Not just spiritually speaking. I'm talking about every way. I'm talking about throughout life and your vocation and your work and your opportunity to make a little money and your grades and everything. God favors and smiles upon young men and young women who obey their dad and their mom. You learn to do that, you'll be blessed. You will. So learn obedience to your folks, and you'll be preparing for future blessing. But not only does the Bible say to obey, the Bible says to honor your mother and your father. Honor. Let me tell you, kids, something that you already know. I don't need to tell you this tonight. You know this, but your parents love you immensely. You know they love you. You do not know the depth of that love until you have a little bundle that you hold in your own arms. And I'm telling you, it changes everything. It just changes everything. The light comes on. If it hasn't already, the light comes on about, boy, mom and dad's love. I was at the graduations this week. I was down there at Pensacola for Elizabeth and did get to see Rick McDonald, too, just very, very briefly on Wednesday morning. It was fun to see him. Very, very busy. We got to take Paul out for some ice cream and have a good time. And it was there for that graduation. Boy, I saw the dads and the moms and the cameras. And I mean, it was big time. And I mean, the cameras were, and boy, the smiles on their faces and the pictures and everybody's, you know, and here they come in their robes from the dormitories, and the moms and dads and the grandmas and grandpas just so. It's as big a day for dads and moms as it is for the graduates. It really is. It's a huge, huge day for dads and moms. Then I was down at OBC's graduation on Thursday night for Crystal and Rachel. I was seated by the door there where they walk in. And they walk in the middle door of the auditorium, and I was seated in the next to last row, and I was seated one seat from the end. James Leader was sitting beside me and Ben, and I was standing. They stood for the processional. And so the young people would come, and they would come to the threshold of the door, and they would wait to walk in, you know, to put a little space between them and the one in front. And I was standing in such a way that I could see across the crowd, that whole side of the auditorium. And a lot of those graduates I knew from youth conference and from being down at the school for revival fires and sometimes being in their churches preaching, and I've met their parents. And I would look out over that auditorium, and you know, I would see parents that I know, and then I would see their child step to the threshold of the door. And when their child stepped to the threshold of the door, emotion filled their faces. It just did. The ones that were close enough to me, I could see the tears forming in their eyes. I could see mothers daubing their eyes with their Kleenexes. And I saw dads, you know, swallow hard. And you could just see emotion just as the child appeared at the threshold of the door. You know, you could see that in their faces. You kids have no idea how much you affect the heart of your dad and the heart of your mom. You have no idea. I've said throughout the years, I've always said that you kids, you hold the hearts of your parents in your hands. And over the years, I've seen kids squash the hearts of their parents through selfishness and carelessness. We've seen that happen. And I've seen other kids who were very tender and careful and respectful and who nourished the hearts of their dads and the hearts of their moms, caring for those hearts. And I'm going to tell you something, young people, God will always bless you for that. God will always bless you for caring for their hearts. Caring for them. Nurturing them. And understanding that your life, your behavior, your actions, your choices, the path you choose to walk and is either going to squish that heart or it's going to nurture that heart. And boy, keep that in mind. You have no idea how much you affect the heart of your dad and your mom. The Bible says that this commandment, this honor thy father and thy mother, the Bible says this is the first commandment with promise. With promise. Now, there are many other commandments that carry promises. Many of them. Now, when the Bible says this is the first commandment with promise, I believe it's talking about that list of what we know as the Ten Commandments there in Exodus chapter 20. And this commandment is the first commandment in that list of ten that has a promise attached to it. And actually, there are two promises attached to this commandment, this command to honor mom and dad. There are two promises attached to it. I'll look at those in just a minute. But first, let me take a look at the command. Look at the word honor. Honor thy father and mother. That word honor means to prize. It means to fix a value on. It means to consider your dad and to consider your mom to be very special. You kids, teenagers even, you may have something in your room. You may have something in your possession that you count very precious. Maybe it's a memento or an heirloom. Or maybe it was something that was passed down, or maybe something that you purchased with your own money, or something that somebody purchased and gave to you. But you have something that's very precious to you. You have something that's very special to you. You value it highly. And maybe you treat it with care, and you put it in a special place, and you don't let other people handle it carelessly. Maybe you have a friend to the house for a few hours, and they come back to your room, and you show them your room, and oh, what's that? Well, this is, and be very, and you tell them, be careful, don't hurt. And they hold it in their hand and you watch them carefully because it's a valuable item. And you honor it by giving it special care. Well, the Bible says that's how you treat dad and that's how you treat mom. You treat dad and you treat mom with special care. You prize them highly. They are a valuable possession in a sense. You don't own them. You belong to them. But in a sense, they are your dad and they are your mom. And you honor them by treating them special and considering them to be a very prized possession. You know, you're around dad and you're around mom all the time. You live in the same house with them inside those four walls. You're with them day in and day out. You see both of them at the best and you see both of them at the worst. That sounds true. Try as we might, parents, there are those times when our old nature and our flesh and our weaknesses are on full display in front of our kids. Try as you might. Now, you kids, you see that. But let me tell you something, kiddos. The wise child does not get used to his dad and mom. The wise child does not take them for granted. The wise child understands how valuable dad and mom are. They're a prized possession. Now, if you were to lose one of them, then you'd see very quickly how precious they are. I remember S.M. Davis years ago telling a story. And I can't remember now if it was a girl from his church or if it was a girl in Lincoln that he knew or they had been to the church, but she was going to the public high school. She was having a difficult time. I don't remember if it was a divorce situation or if dad was passed on. I don't remember if it was a mom rearing two or three children by herself, trying to make ends meet, having a full-time job and trying to make ends meet. And they got ready for getting ready for school one morning, and mom was trying to get the breakfast ready and trying to help get the lunches prepared and get ready herself to go work her full-time job. And the girl came down from the bedroom upstairs wearing something that was inappropriate, and the mother said, "You're not going to wear that to school. Go change that." And the girl screamed and hollered and stomped up the stairs and changed the clothes and came back down and snatched her lunch off the table, grabbed her books. And your mother said, "Aren't you going to eat breakfast?" And she yelled at her mom and said, "No, I hate you." And as she was going out the door, she said, "I just wish you'd die," and just slammed it. Went off to school. Later on that morning, she was sitting in one of her classes, and the class was interrupted by a knock on the door, and it was the principal of the high school, and he said, "I need to see," and called that girl's name and took her down to his office, and there gave her the news that as her mom was driving to work that very morning, she was involved in a very serious car accident, and her life was snuffed out in a matter of seconds. And they said that you could hear that girl's screaming, her wailing all over that high school. And when she came to the funeral home for the funeral, fell across that casket and screaming and wailing. The last thing she said to her mom, "I just wish you'd die." Now, see, you certainly don't want that. And you don't even want close to that. You don't want to get used to mom and dad. I mean, you're going to get used to them. They're your dad. They're your mom. They're in your home. You see them. You see them at the best of days. You see them on the worst of days. You see them when they're in a relationship is going well. And you see dad and mom when their relationship, the wires are crossed. And you see that, but don't ever allow yourself to lose in your mind the value of what it means to have a dad sitting at that table and what it means to have a mom sitting at that table. Honor them and value them and realize what a prized possession mom and dad are. Honor your mom and your dad. Treat them highly, especially. That's what it's talking about. Treat them special. In your mind, place them on a high shelf. A high, high shelf. And consider them to be very, very valuable. I want you to look at the two promises in verse number 3. He said, "Honor thy father and mother." And look at what he said, it'll happen if you do. Verse number 3, "that it may be well with thee." That's a good life. "And thou mayest live long on the earth." That's a long life. Well, let me ask you a question. Who wouldn't want a good life and a long life? How many would sign up for that tonight? A good life and a long life. You know, if I could bottle up a potion and label it and market it and put it on the shelf and promise that if you'll drink this potion every day for the first 15, 18 years of your life, it'll give you a long life and you'll have a good life and a wonderful life and a long life, why, you wouldn't be able to keep enough stock on the shelves. I want to tell you something, young person. God has given you kids a promise. God hasn't given you a potion. He's given you a promise. You take those first 18 years and you obey your folks and you honor your dad and honor your mom and you esteem them very highly for who they are. And God promises you a good life and a long life. Yeah, people spend thousands of dollars trying to take vitamins and supplements and all that stuff. Not against that. Eat health food to extend their life. The truth of the matter is some of you kids are on course to have a very long life because you're honoring your mom and you're honoring your dad. You're obeying them. And God's promise you're going to find to be true. You know, I think about Absalom, don't you? I think about Absalom who ran his daddy, dishonored his dad, rebelled against his dad's leadership and drove his dad off the throne of the kingdom there. And for a fleeting few days, he sat upon that throne as king and his rebellion flourishing. And I mean, buddy, he had accomplished everything he'd set his mind to. He was king. But I want to tell you something. God was unhappy with him. And it wasn't but just a few days later, he was hanging by his old long hair from the boughs of an oak tree. Joab ran 3 darts through his heart. He didn't live a good life or a long life. I want to tell you something. You honor dad and mom. You honor your parents. You obey them. And God will bless you. It's very interesting when you get around many of these elderly people. Stop some time and talk to Mrs. Rigney. Stop some time and talk to Brother John Hudson. Stop some time and talk to the elderly people in this church. And I remember when we were down visiting James Kent. Remember the Saturday we visited him before he died? And he died on Monday night in 84, I think. 87, I forget exactly how old Brother Kent was. But for some strange reason, on that Saturday, went down to see him because of his birthday. And for some strange reason, he started talking about his boyhood. And we'd never talked about his boyhood. Remember he talked about his dad? He said, "I remember my dad out there plowing behind the mules." It was obviously that James Kent had a love for his father and a respect for his father. You ask these elderly people sometime who are living into their 80s, how was your relationship with your dad? How was your relationship with your mom? Did you honor them? Did you obey them? Did you love them? And if I was a betting man, I'd bet you over and over again you'd hear a resounding yes. I loved my dad. My dad loved me. I loved my mom, and my mom loved me. And I honored them, and I respected them, and I obeyed them. Hey, God made a promise here. This is promises as good as Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is as much a promise as that is a promise. You obey God, mom, and obey dad, and do right, live, and you'll live long, and you'll live good. That's not a potion. That's a promise. I think I'd take the Lord up on that. Good life, long life. In whatever you do. Good life, long life. Who wouldn't want that? Huh? That's what God promised here. God promised that. Now, He said honor. How do you honor them? You know how to obey them. Obey them immediately. Obey them completely. Obey them happily. Obey them from the heart. Show some initiative. Obey mom and dad before they tell you what to do. But how do you honor them? How do you honor them? Four things quickly tonight. It won't take me long. Number one, remember that honor is value. Value. Number one, value their time. Value their time. All you children ought to learn to value the time that your mom and dad spend with you. Enjoy spending time with them. Make it fun for your parents to be with you. If they want to do something with you, be excited about it. Don't drag your feet. Don't act like, oh, brother, this is the most boring thing in the world. It may not be flashing lights and noise and pop guns and all the stuff that video games have. You don't need those anyway. Time with mom and dad may be playing a simple board game. It may be going out for ice cream. It may be taking a trip with them. It may be doing yard work. But value the time that you have with your mom and your dad. Value that. Always be excited when mom and dad want to spend time with you. When they want to do something with you, jump at the chance. I'm talking to you kids tonight. Mom or dad's at the house. Hey, I'm going to go to the store. Anybody want to ride along? You ought to jump at the chance. Sure, I'll go. Can I go, Dad? Can I go, Mom? Jump at that chance, man. I mean, stay out of your bedroom. The parents, you ought not let them hover up in their bedrooms anyway. But you kids need to stay out of your bedrooms. Stay where your mom and dad are. Mom and dad are in the family room, stay where they are. Mom and dad are in the living room, stay where they are. Mom and dad in the kitchen, hang around them. Value, that's how you honor them. Value their time. Boy, if dad says, let's go out and pitch the ball, you go get the glove and the ball, go get the football, be out in the yard before he can get his tennis shoes on. Amen. Value their time. Value their time. That's how you honor them. Value their time. They're busy, busy people. They ought not be too busy for you, and many of them are not when they spend time with you. You value that. Number two, value their talk. Value their talk. You say, what do you mean by that, preacher? When they ask you a question, be happy to talk with them. How was school today? Fine. Well, what went on today? Oh, nothing. Now, that's not true. You know that's not true. You know, Mrs. Thomason cried. You know that. And Brother Don had something going crazy in his class, and Mrs. Gardner in her class making some kind of potion that messed up and stunk up the whole church building, amen, and landed rockets on the neighbor's house across the street, and so forth and so on. Hey, what went on to school today? Oh, nothing. Talk to them. Talk to them. Mom and dad say something to you, give an answer. Talk to them. Tell them. Share your heart with them. And when they begin to talk with you about things that are important to them, you listen very carefully. Close your book. Put up what you're doing. And when you start listening to mom and dad, honoring them by listening to them, you're going to hear lots and lots of wisdom that will come out of their many years of experience. Value their talk. Ask dad questions. Ask mom questions. Ask them. Say, Dad, what do you think about this? Mom, what do you think about this? Talk with them. Value their time. Value their talk. I love to hear my dad or my father-in-law talk about life. Talk about their work experiences. Talk about things that they did when they were younger. Talk about things that they did when they were young married. We were just little boys. There's so much wisdom. When mom talks, listen carefully. Hang on every word. When dad talks, listen carefully. Hang on every word. Engage in conversation with your dad and your mom. That's how you honor them. You don't honor them if when they ask you a question, you give a little one-word answer and off do something else. You honor them if when they ask you a question, you stop and they have your full attention. And you speak with them and speak with them and talk to them and talk to them. You honor them by valuing their talk. Value their time. Value their talk. Number three, let me say this. Value their faith. Value their faith. That's how you honor your mom and dad. Let me say this, young people. If the body of faith your parents believe comes from this book, value it highly. Especially if you have a mom and dad whose faith is important to them. If you have a mom and dad whose faith is a priority. And I don't mean that they're just saved. I mean living their salvation is important to them. Don't desert their faith. Walk in it. You will not be sorry, I promise you. You'll not be. The wise child will not push the borders of their parents' faith. The wise child will not constantly be bumping the borders to see how far and how far dad or how far mom will let me go from what they believe or deviate from what they have taught. Don't be pushing the envelope and pushing and bumping the borders. Learn what dad's faith is. Learn what mom's faith is. And if it's not unreasonable, if they can back it up with Scripture and show you from the Word of God their body of faith, you'll honor them by valuing their faith. Let me ask you a question. Do you really think if you'll spend your life valuing their faith that when you stand before Jesus Christ, He'll look at you and say, boy, you really did more than what you needed to? That it really wasn't necessary for you to live. You really believe that? You know what I believe with all of my heart? I believe God will honor you for honoring your mom and dad. Valuing their faith. Value their faith. I mean, value it. If they've got a faith that honors God, if they've got a walk and a talk that brings glory to God, man, the wise child plants himself right in the center, directly in the center of the parents' faith and values it highly. Do you value their faith? Do you value it? Value their time, value their talk, value their faith. Number four, value their joy. Value their joy. In 3 John chapter 4, in 3 John verse 4, John wrote this, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. Walk in truth. That's how you value their joy. Dad's greatest joy, mom's greatest joy is to see their children walking in truth. Don't walk in error. Don't walk close to the truth. Walk in the truth. Do you know what makes them joyful? You know what really makes your parents joyful? And I think I can speak for your mom and dad. I think I can. Maybe I'm taking it too far, but I am a dad of multiple children. You know what makes them joyful? I'll tell you what makes them joyful. When you walk in ways that you know they prefer. They may not demand it. But they prefer it. And when you walk in those ways, you will bring their heart great joy. One of my greatest joys as a dad comes when I find out that one of my kids is doing something in a certain way or not doing something in a certain way because they know prefers that. You say, don't you want them to agree with you? Well, yeah. Sure, I like for them to, but... And I hope that they will, and in most cases they do. But your kids are individuals, folks. Going to be. They're going to grow up to be adults. And they're going to make some of their own choices. They're not going to be little robots when they get to be 21. But I'm going to tell you something. Those of you that are 19, 20, 21, 18, 17, when you practice and walk in truth according to ways that your dad, especially your dad, as the leader of the home, you walk in ways that you know he prefers. That brings great joy to his heart. And you value that. You honor that. God will bless you. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. I think I told this before. My father-in-law was saved, but he was not an active Christian. And I went to Mennonite church. And I don't mean living a party life, but they would go places and play cards and, you know, carry on stuff. I don't think he was a drinker. I don't think John ever put a bottle of alcohol to his lips. He just kind of a party life with friends and card playing and all that. Then he got right with God, and he left the Mennonite church, and he got into a Bible church, and eventually got into a Baptist church, and he started having a Bible study, and he started learning the Word of God. Boy, he started growing, and God began to deal with his heart. And their card games took priority. Card games took priority. And God began working on his heart about those card games, and he wouldn't give them up. And God kept working on his heart about those card games, and he wouldn't give them up. And then he lost his arm. Right here. And my father-in-law believes with all of his heart that he lost his arm because he was stubborn. Now, I don't know if he did or not. I don't have any idea. That's what he believes with all of his heart. If you were to ask him, John, I know how you lost your arm. You got it caught in the corn sheller. He said, yeah, I'll tell you why I lost it. I lost it because I was stubborn. God was dealing with my heart, and I wouldn't give up those cards, and so I lost my arm. And he took a real, real strong position from that time on about cards. Now, we don't own a deck of playing cards. I wouldn't have one in my house. I just don't have. I don't like the association with all the poker and everything, especially the poker that's just sweeping the country today. And when God's people start talking knowledgeably about poker and Texas Hold'em and all that, bothers me bad. It's just another thing to jump on for the world and lose your testimony. But anyway, I love Rook. Oh, I love Rook. And we grew up playing Rook. I remember being a little boy and going with my dad, my mom, my brothers over to YT's house or Truett's house, Batbo's house. That was my cousin's grandfather's, what they called him, Batbo. And every Friday night, man, it was Rook night, and they'd play Rook. I love Rook. But we've always been very, very careful when we get around her dad. We avoid it altogether. I can't tell you when the last time I played a Rook game. You say you think it's a sin? I don't think it's a sin. I just haven't played it. Why is that? Because I love John Christner. And that honors him. And there might be a time with my folks down in Florida, they might say, let's play Rook. And I might play, but I'm going to tell you something. I don't think I'd ever do that in his presence for sure, and very rarely do it at all. Because I want to honor my father-in-law. And that's what honoring is. Honoring is not finding out what Dad will let me do. Honoring is finding out through listening and talking to what Dad prefers and say, you know what? I'm going to do that. I'm going to do what my dad prefers. And I promise you, kiddos, when your dad knows that you're walking in truth according to his preferences, that's just going to make his heart so joyful. You honor your dad and your mom. You value their time. You value their talk. You value their faith. You value their joy. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. I promise you, there's nothing out there in the world that will ever replace. Nothing out there in the world can compete. You can't do anything in the world that will bring you more blessing than just honoring your dad and your mom. Amen. God has promised a good life and a long life to the kids who'll do that. Not just obey them, but honor them. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening tonight. Speaking, I guess, to kids, but you know, maybe the Lord has something in it for everybody here this evening. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Is there somebody here tonight who would say, Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. I cannot say that I know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. Pray for me. If there's anybody like that here tonight, would you lift your hand real high so I could pray for you? I'm not sure I'm saved or on my way to heaven. Anybody like that from front to back, side to side? Small child or two. God bless you, little kids. Anybody else? And may those kids come to a saving knowledge of Christ at a good age. Is anybody here tonight? Pastor, I've been saved but never baptized in deep water since I've been saved. Pray for me. Anybody like that tonight? Never been baptized? All right. If you're here tonight, you're saved, baptized, you've talked to us about church membership, you know this is the place God would have you join, become an active member, that I would invite you to come. Take care of that tonight. How many people across the auditorium tonight would say, kids or adults, doesn't matter. Moms and dads or children. Pastor, pray for me. Somewhere throughout the course of the message tonight, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart. Pray for me. Would you lift a hand, please, all over the room? There's a lot of hands. God bless you. Take your hand down. My dear Heavenly Father, on this Mother's Day, I pray that we'll take something home from this service that will be more than just a card or a flower or a phone call to mom one day out of the year. I pray we'll take something home from this service that we will implement and practice the rest of our lives, especially these young people. I long and ask you, O God, and long for them to have a good life and a long life. And you gave them the promise that they could have it by honoring their dad and mom. Help them to understand and practice these four simple things tonight. Thank you for every hand that was lifted, representing every heart in this room that was touched tonight. I pray, oh God, that you do a good work in that heart, and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, play us a song of invitation. Will you come? This is your time. This is your opportunity. Kneel and pray. Will you let the Lord speak to your heart? Honor thy father and thy mother. ahead and be seated if you would, please, just for a minute this evening. Brother Joe, you got the cards. This is the last time we'll do this. If you would like to do a page for the scrapbook for Ben and Ashley, like the one that was done for Heather and Jason, and you've not received one of the cards, then be sure and raise your hand tonight. And that is anybody in our church, please. They'd love to have a page for you. Just keep your hand up if you've not received one of the cards. This is the last time we'll do this. And don't forget, they need those in about 4 weeks, all right? If you do not have a picture to accompany your page, then you see these folks, and they'll be happy to take your picture and get it ready for that, okay? All right, anybody else? All right, very good. Soul winning opportunities this Tuesday. Don't forget, Tuesday a.m., 10 o'clock. The afternoon for the young people, which is only a couple of weeks left now till school's out. And then, of course, Tuesday night at 6:30, Saturday at 9:30. And we had a good number of folks out this week. I appreciate that. And some good results, people here this morning who were saved both Tuesday and Thursday. And that is wonderful. Don't forget the Wednesday night service at 7 o'clock. Jason, do you have an announcement tonight? All right, come make that if you will, please, sir.
Just a reminder, teenagers, our activity next Saturday is our youth rally. If you're going, be here at 8:30. We leave at 8:45. We get back around 4 o'clock here in the parking lot. Sign up in the sign-up sheet, and if you have any more information for parents or teens, you can find me. I have this. The cost is $2, and we're on the way home stopping for ice cream. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Don't forget the SWAT soul-winning opportunities. You see Brother Caleb about that before you leave tonight. Before I dismiss you, let me just say a word. There was a lot of I don't know if it was due to the day or what. There's a lot of shenanigans in the service tonight. I was very patient, didn't call folks down. I'm going to tell you what you better do with those cell phones. You better turn them off. Next time I see people passing text messages, looking at text messages on cell phones, I will call you down and ask you to turn it off and put it up. That's disrespectful, not just to the preacher, but to God. So y'all better turn them off. I don't even have mine with me. Folks, turn those things. We don't need them in church. What did you used to do before there was cell phones? You waited till after church. We're so important now, God has to stop for us to take a call. Well, that's right. Amen. And a text message. There's no place for it in the church house. I don't care if it's checking scores of ball games or whatever. I will call your name and tell you to put it away. And a couple of boys and girls shenanigan during the invitation time. I was very patient tonight, let it go. But I won't do that much longer. Okay? We'll keep a tight rein on it. So if you want me to call you down, you don't push the envelope with me, okay, on that. And I hate to send you home like that, but I just felt like I need to say that tonight. Amen. Because I've watched the cell phone stuff too long. While somebody's preaching the Bible. God have mercy. All right, everybody happy? Let's stand. We'll go home happy. Amen. Don't go home mad. Just go home. All right? Before you go home, shake hands with somebody. Everybody take a deep breath. It's all right. Amen. Some of you folks are leaving already. All right? See you later. Goodbye.